On April 23rd, the U.S. State Department released its report submitted to the U.N. Committee on Racial Discrimination, and ever since has come under criticism for allegedly offering misleading and erroneous information as to the state of race relations in America and the reasons for disparities in various institutions such as education and incarceration along racial lines. One of the most vocal critics of the report has been the ACLU, and joining me on the program now is Chandra Bhatnagar, staff attorney for the ACLU Human Rights Program. Chandra, nice to have you on the program.
Thanks for inviting me, Tav. It's a pleasure to be here.
I just gave a quick backstory here. Tell me what the report was about and what the controversy is that's ensued.
The U.S. is a signatory to an international treaty called the International Convention for the Elimination of Racial Discrimination. And as a signatory, it's obligated to report on its compliance with the treaty. And the report that the U.S. was submitting is actually the second report that it submitted. It signed the treaty in 1994. And it submitted its first report in the year 2000, and this is the second report that the U.S. has submitted. Mm. Both of the reports were overdue, I should mention. This report was due in 2003, and the first report was also late. So these are actually combining two overdue reports.
I tried to top line what the report's all about. Give me some of the key findings from your perspective.
The report suffers from omissions, deficiencies, and mischaracterizations. I think foremost among the omissions is a lack of analysis of Hurricane Katrina aftermath, and specifically the treatment of prisoners during Hurricane Katrina. Ourselves, the NAACP Legal Defense Fund and Human Rights Watch chronicled some of the problems in the Orleans Parish Prison, where prisoners were systemically racially attacked by guards who were mostly white, reports of prisoners being slapped, punched, beaten, stripped naked, and kicked by corrections officers. And the prisoners, most of whom were African American, were also subjected to degrading treatment and racist slurs. So the omission of that discussion is the problem in the report. The omission of the problems around voting rights around Katrina, the issues around the right to education. We received several reports about disparity of services between whites and minority communities, as well as racial profiling and discrimination against people perceived to be immigrants during the Katrina aftermath. There were stories of folks being turned away from shelters who didn't have green cards or weren't able to provide authorized government identification, even though they were coming there, many of whom that didn't have shoes or didn't even have other essential items in the wake of a storm. So just around Katrina, those were some major omissions. In addition, the U.S. report neglects entirely the serious issue of police brutality. As Sean Bell has recently reminded us, the case of Sean Bell and Ronald Madison, police brutality continues to be a problem. This is an issue I've worked on many years ago in New York during the Giuliani administration, and Anthony Baez, Abner Louima, Amadou Diallo, the names go on and on and on, and yet there's no mention of this in the U.S. report.
So for those who see this as just another report to the UN, why are you so outraged? Why is the ACLU so outraged? Why is it so important to highlight the errors and omissions in this report?
The U.S. has only signed three major international human rights treaties, signed and ratified them. The Convention to Eliminate Racial Discrimination, the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights, and the Convention Against Torture, Cruel, and Inhuman and Degrading Treatment. It has not signed the Convention to Eliminate Discrimination Against Women. It's one of only two countries that hasn't signed the Convention on the Rights of the Child, the other country being Somalia, who doesn't even have an internationally recognized government who could be in a position to sign and ratify that treaty. So the U.S. is really on an island with that. So with the three treaties that it has signed, it's really important that the U.S. provides accurate and complete information to the committees. And while there are various reports that go through the U.N., the treaty reporting around these three major human rights treaties are among the most important because of the fact that the treaty bodies that oversee compliance are independent entities. They're absolutely non-political, and the U.S. government takes the process very seriously. Last year, when the review of the International Covenant on Political Rights report took place in Geneva, the U.S. sent Won Kim, the head of the Civil Rights Division from DOJ. They sent high-level representatives from the State Department, from the Department of Homeland Security, Department of Defense. These are very important proceedings, and so it's been disappointing to us to see that, first of all, unlike other reports that the U.S. has submitted, there was no heads-up given to the NGO community. It was kind of anonymously posted on their website. There was no press conference. There was no public attention given to the release of this report. And so us, as well as other NGO community members, members of the civil rights community, are going to be putting pressure on the U.S. government for more complete kind of information to be provided to the committee. There's deficiencies and mischaracterizations that are significant as well. U.S. asserts that the reasons for disparities in incarceration rates are complex, but that research suggests that those disparities are related to differential involvement in crime, and that's absolutely incorrect. One example is, despite equal or lower rates of drug use among racial minority women than white women, racial minority women, are significantly overrepresented among those in prison for drug crimes. And this is a result of, as your audience is well aware, racially targeted law enforcement practices, disparate charging and sentencing, the expansion of criminal liability through legal provisions like accomplice liability, and mandatory sentences for peripheral involvement in drug crimes. There are serious problems with this report, and so we, as well as other organizations, are just trying to bring some attention to the issue. And it may seem like this is a new problem or a new issue, but in fact, calls for using human rights to bring accountability for domestic social injustice are really not new. Malcolm X, W.E. Du Bois, Roger Baldwin, the founder of the ACLU, and many others called for using human rights strategies to advocate against injustice in the United States early in the 1900s, and it's only now that social justice organizations have really taken heed of those calls and begun to use human rights strategies.
I should note that we offered to have a member of the State Department engage in this conversation with Chandra, and at the time of the conversation, no one was offered to us. If you should wish to view the full report and form your own opinion accordingly, log on to our website at tavishtalks.com, and we have it there for you. He is Chandra Bhatnagar, staff attorney for the ACLU Human Rights Program. Chandra, nice to have you on the program. Thanks for your work, and all the best to you.
Thank you so much.